Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
It's not a bad conspiracy theory from a 603 texter. Any chance Belichick has been back-channeling to keep Kraft out of the Hall of Fame?
The issue with that is that you think the writers would prefer Bill over Robert.
But he didn't even make it to the writers' portion, right?
This no, is like... so it is. I don't know who it is. There are seven writers of the nine. So there's a nine-person committee that decides. I think it's contributor. I don't know the
they
exact.
They put forth the contributor
the
category.
The senior blue ribbon panel.
Who was the guy that got picked?
Clay something. Clay Travis. Big year for him.
Great. Clay Travis is in.
Right.
He's still got to be approved.
Buckin' Sexton. Give it to me. Clay Travis and not Clay Travis.
No, Ralph Hay.
Oh, Ralph Hay. Sorry, wasn't even a Clay.
He was the owner of the Canton Bulldogs from 1918 to 1922.
Right. I think it's related to the Karen Reed trial. And the
they had lunch at Robert Hay's house.
Right. So either way, so seven of these people are the crossover of the 50 writers that vote every year on the players.
Oh, so it's the same people.
Seven.
Seven.
And
of
then
them
there are
also
two people that could be historians, they could be anybody.
Well, right. Don't you think Bill appeals to those people, those historians? They probably love Bill. Bill's probably got them
but
totally
the
compromised.
Seven writers don't.
Yeah, probably. I don't know who they are. We got to find these people.
Okay. The odds are is that Bill has fluffed more writers than I'm sorry, that Robert has fluffed more writers than Bill.
Yeah, but sometimes you can be too thirsty there, as we found out. If you send the book too often, it's pissing
people
off.
Maybe he just sends Lombardi and he just has him spreading fake news. Either way, it's absurd.
Everybody admits Kraft should be in.
Exactly. It's just crazy.
He's 0-13. He was like Tatum from 3 last night. I mean, 0-13 in getting in.
What was your favorite Biden moment with the Celtics?
I didn't find that to be very nice. I mean, the guy's on his way out. He's got a stuttering problem. Just let the man go.
Stuttering problem?
Yes, he does. He's got a speech problem. He's done fine. Just let him walk off into the sunset here. Let's go in the meantime.
He's done fine.
Well, the economy's good. Let's go to Mike.
How's the radio business, Greg?
That's good. Mike.
Curtis, I don't think I've ever agreed with... Now, let me be clear. The bar is remarkably low, but I don't think I've ever agreed with someone on Boston Sports Radio more than I agree with you.
Oh, God,
so,
love you.
I appreciate that. I heard you earlier, Ken, say maybe one of the dumbest things I've ever heard, which was you're not willing to forgive them. Yeah, right. You're not willing to forgive the team. That's the wrong question. The question is, what would it take to forgive this team for using the second-best player in all of baseball as a tool in a salary dump to get rid of the dog-ass pitcher you forced the other GM to sign as a publicity tool to get good pub when you didn't want to pay the cancer survivor a fan? That's the question you should ask.
Well, there's a lot going on there. If you're talking about Sale, he just won the Cy Young, so that wasn't a horrible
I'm talking
signing.
About the fact that you used Mookie Betts. You used Mookie Betts as a tool in a salary dump to get rid of David Price, who the only reason he was here
Price
is because you forced the other general manager. Right. You forced the other GM to sign him because you didn't want to pay the cancer survivor who fans loved.
Right. That's true. That was a direct reaction to Lester
that
departure.
Turned out to be a good signing. I mean, we mocked David Price for a lot of years, but he won a World Series, and he was an instrumental part of that run in 2018.
No, but the what Mike was just discussing is that this ownership group has constantly been going good move after bad. They've been trying to recoup
definitely
things.
Reactionary, no
right.
doubt.
And it's because they are reactionary because they are not invested in real time. If you're invested in real time, you see things coming down the road like they did in 03, 04, 05, 06, 07, all of that.
Right.
Even 11.
Yep.
They made a mistake with Bobby Valentine. Boom, he's gone. They bring in Farrell. Farrell doesn't last. They bring in Cora. They win a World Series.
But in 2018, their reactionary move won a World Series. It was a historic season.
It was. However, John Lester being here, you would have won in 2018. that if it's John Lester or David Price,
okay, but
still
they
win.
Made amends for that. Like, I don't know why you were hung up on that. Like,
because what he's discussing is that you traded the second best player in baseball,
yep,
because you foisted an overpaid malcontent onto the hands of Dave Dombrowski, and that you are still going after that today because you have seen a guy now win two championships. And Chris Sale didn't perform here for whatever reason.
Yeah.
That's on the organization. And so Chris Sale performing, winning the Cy Young with the Braves, nobody doubted that Chris Sale could be a Cy Young winner. It's the fact that when you are constantly seeking to regain footing instead of being with the footing of the organization in real time, you make bad decisions like this. And it's why I will not believe them until I actually see them change their behavior.
I mean, look, I always come off like defending the organization, but to echo Wiggy, they've won four in the last 25 years, last 20 years. They won one 6 years ago. Like, their reactionary move won you another championship.
Joe Biden, at one point,
I can forgive them for a couple years in the dumps if they're going to change what they're doing.
There was a time when Joe Biden could walk on the beach without falling. So, but he's not there today, but you somehow don't see the difference with him or the Red Sox. Things change.
I don't think we need to compare those two.
Well, I mean, well,
unless you could put wood in it, it's fake.
We need a book of that.
Wiggy needs to be in like a
glass case of emotion. How cool is it today, in all sincerity? He's back in Athens, Georgia.
Oh, he went down there for the UMass game. That's right.
He's with Kirby
Smart.
How
is that game happening? Somebody texted that earlier. How is it possible that UMass is playing Georgia?
Well, they have to get money to get the eventual buyout when they fire Don Brown. But Kirby Smart and Wiggy played together. And I was in, when we were in Newport, I was talking to Talina, Wiggy's beautiful wife. Mm-hmm. And she said there's like a whole room for Wiggy dedicated to all the records he broke as tight end.
Really? Wow.
So pretty cool.
The Wiggy room.
The Wiggy room. So I thought it would have been something different, but it's
there's
just
like a hot tub in there?
I didn't ask.
It's a win if Georgia doesn't score 60.
God. And they just fired Don Brown. They got like a new coach, right? Don Brown, former Northeastern football coach.
What are you talking about? Don Brown's the UMass coach.
Yeah, he just got fired.
They fired him?
I thought I saw that, yeah.
Oh, man.
Poor guy.
This past Monday. So it's relatively fresh.
Black Monday for UMass.
Who's the new coach?
It might be Wiggy. He might be campaigning for that.
He just burned a bunch of Brockton film.
They're going to hire him as a coach/motivational speaker or whatever.
He's got to start the pregame speech about 3 hours before.
Let's go to Paulie and Denham on Robert Kraft. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I mean, I think that Joe Biden has no trouble walking on wet sand. It's where it's dry and soft where he may struggle. But anyway, yeah, Bob Kraft, a few things. You know, they're looking at him. You know, you can start with the scandals, as overblown as they were. You get the Orchids of Asia, and he had the final say in the railroading of the GOAT, Tom Brady. Okay, it's all shameful stuff. And if he wants to be forgiven, he needs to start at the beginning and forgive, let's say, Bill Parcells, who there would not be a dynasty without Parcells. Recognize his contribution to the team. Forgive him for his misgivings in terms of the feuding they were doing over the years. Bury the hatchet and let him into the Patriots Hall of Fame. Make a special presentation. Let's just write him right in. Say we're going to do this and. Plus, they'll have a vote of the people as well. Have two guys and just name Parcells. This is a long overdue, and that would hopefully soften. And he's a New York guy, so they'll hopefully soften, you know, their stance against Kraft in terms of his trying to make it into the Hall.
All right, Paulie, thank you. Now, so I mean, Paulie brings up points there that obviously are not that are legitimately things that bother some Pats fans. Not all, but Parcells not in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
I would say that's 50-50.
The Brady ending. Like, there are things there that Kraft has obviously not been perfect. Do you think that translates at all to the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
So,
fan, though? I mean,
I look at the transgressions of people like Jerry Jones, and I sit back and I'm like, what are we doing? Jerry won three. He hasn't been to the Super Bowl. I don't think he's been to the NFC Championship game since the 90s.
Like, they just let Pat Bolin in, right? And they put...
But, like, a guy like Mike Shanahan isn't in. How is that? Well, Mike Shanahan won two titles. He basically has created the brain trust of the new generation of offensive football. He's a brilliant coach. Like, it's so... I don't
Eddie DeBartolo Jr. got inducted. Right. He had a major
scandal.
Yeah, he was indicted. Like, so the people that have gotten in, it's not like there's...
And you can't talk about the personal misgivings and say that Jerry Jones is in a Hall of Fame and Robert Kraft isn't.
I do think, though, for most the average fan, they're not really moved by this debate that much. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Because nobody, there's nobody that disagrees.
Nobody disagrees, but nobody's really bothered that he's not in there, that they're outraged. Or
I think if this was in 2018, it might be different. Like, there are enough fans that sit back and view... The outside of everything else, right, the envy and all that, Tom winning immediately does hurt the aura that Robert Kraft would have led you to believe existed here. Because he up and left, and we all see today what Drake May means, and we see what Mac Jones means. It's unfortunate that a sport that we all grew up loving has been... Now, basically, you either have someone that can throw the ball or you're losing.
Danny Dimes was cut this week. It's unbelievable.
Thank you for mentioning that. Can we cut the horse crap? I read this story. Everybody's praising how Danny Dimes handled it. What are we talking about?
he
was paid $140 million to suck.
Right.
The second he had to sit on the bench, he demanded to get released. How is that handling it well? He's handling it like a petulant child. You made $150 million. Sit your ass on the bench. Wait for the rest of the year. Why are we enabling him to be prevented from being the scout team quarterback?
That's the way it works in the NFL. You can just talk your way out of a job if you're annoying enough.
In what way is that something that you say is praiseworthy?
Correct.
But that's uniform. Go online. Everybody's saying he did a good job.
Or they did him dirty. Like, the first reaction was, they did this guy dirty. They cut him.
But, like, imagine if that's, you know, LeBron James or Manny Ramirez, and a guy gets benched because of bad play. Like, when Manny was on irrevocable waivers, he was getting killed.
Yep.
Like, and he had won two World Series at that time. Look at where this guy, who wins a single playoff game in 4 years, makes $130 million, has been awful dog food. He has a very good offensive mind in Brian Daboll, who did great things with Josh Allen. He's had offensive weaponry that exceeds that of Drake May at the bare minimum. He plays like crap. He gets benched, and he's like in tears, and then he asks for a release.
Don't the misery of the Giants and Jets make you feel better as a Pats fan?
But that, like, have we gone that soft? Like, honestly, like, you should sit your ass on the bench. You sucked. Why are we allowing you to get out of a contract?
I mean, I guess if you're a member of that team, he's probably such a distraction. You want him out of there.
Okay, but that's not something you would praise.
No, you wouldn't praise it. That's for sure.
They also put him all the way to QB4. It wasn't like you're the backup if the other guy gets hurt.
Oh, my God, the trauma. Bring him in a support dog. I mean, for Christ's sake, you made $140 million and you played like crap.
Bring in Frankie, your Pudgy's pals.
Oh, I love
Frankie.
Great guy from the... Sudbury Buddy Dogs, something like that. I'll get the name. But Michael was electric from there.
He did a good job. Frankie will get adopted. I have no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah. Cutie pie. Anyway.
All right. Ken and Curtis with you until 11:30. Up until pregame, Meters got the pregame along with Pete Cronin as BC takes on North Carolina. Talking a little Red Sox, a little Patriots. You can join the show, 617-779-7937. Speaking of New York, Judge made some comments about Soto that have me encouraged as a Red Sox fan. I know you don't want to get sucked down the hopeful route, but I am there. So I want to relay some of those comments. He won the MVP, of course. You had a good question to Bill O'Brien about the changing state of college football that I thought was an interesting response.
I love that he's going to be on through the year.
Yeah, he wants to stay on. Billy O loves the show.
Good.
Just wants to keep calling in on Thursday. If they get a win today, they're bowl eligible, correct?
Yep,
is that still a thing?
Five.
You have to win six still?
And coming up next, we have to celebrate 40 years ago today, definitely Mount Rushmore of Boston sports moments.
Really? Mount Rushmore?
Oh, my God. Changed everything.
Well, there are a lot of big Boston sports moments. I mean, this is top four?
There's a road in Natick that was created.
Oh, boy. We might have a classic Saturday sports... Sports topic to roll out.
Oh, man. Sorry, Larry.
In honor of LJ, give me your Mount Rushmore Boston sports moments. Think about those.
When we fired Ken.
And now it's Joe Braverman trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Celtics knocked off the Wizards last night down in D.C. 108-96, your final score, despite shooting 11 of 46 from three. The scoring came alive in the second half, led by Jaylen Brown, who scored 17 of his 31 points in that second half. He added 11 rebounds and 5 assists. Jason Tatum struggled on the night, but finished with a near triple-double, 16 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists. The Seas were playing their former teammate and sixth man of the year, Malcolm Brogdon, who talked after the game and had nothing but praise for the two Jays and their development over the years.
You know, people have always criticized them over the years. They can't play together. Their games are too similar, yada, yada. I mean, they've heard it all. And I think they've really come together and figured it out, how to play well and mesh on the court. I think they're great, man. I think they're the best duo in the NBA right now. So, I mean, that's what you see every night.
The Seas are now in second place in the group stage on the NBA Cup. They're at 2-1. Only by point differential to the Atlanta Hawks. They'll travel to Minnesota to face Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves tomorrow afternoon. The final injury report is out for the Patriots as they travel to South Beach for a matchup with the Dolphins. Christian Gonzalez was a new addition to the list. He's questionable with a hip issue. Cole Strange is also questionable after practicing for the first time this season following knee surgery. Kyle Duggar, Vidarian Lowe, Marte Mapu, Keon White, and Teacher Twice are among other names that are questionable. For Miami, starting cornerback Kendall Fuller has been ruled out with a concussion, and starting left tackle Teron Armstead is questionable with a knee injury. Pats and Finns kick it off from Hard Rock Stadium tomorrow at 1 o'clock. The Bruins are back on the road in Joe Sacco's second game as head coach. They're taking on the Red Wings in Detroit. Mark McLaughlin was recalled from Providence for tonight's game. In response, Georgi Mirkulov was sent back down. Puck drop from the Motor City is set for 7 o'clock. Boston College football is back home to take on North Carolina at Alumni Stadium with the Eagles, as mentioned, one win away from bowl eligibility. You can listen to John Mita Perrell and Pete Cronin on the call from Chestnut Hill right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM with coverage beginning at 11:30, and the game kicks off at noon. And also in college football, fifth-ranked Indiana looks to remain unbeaten at second-ranked Ohio State today at noon. Later on tonight, it'll be number 19 Army looking for the same fate against number 6 Notre Dame at 7. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, here we go. Here's your ball game, folks, as Flutie takes the snap. He drops straight back. Scrambles away from one hit. Looks. Uncorks a deep one for the end zone. Phelan is down there.
Oh, he got it!
Did he get it?
He got it!
Touchdown! 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 Boston College! He did it! He did it! Flutie did it! He got Phelan in the end zone! Touchdown!
I don't believe
it! Oh, my goodness! What a play! Flutie to Gerard!
The State in 84, Curtis, the Hail Flutie. And that's Dan the Duke Davis, right? The radio call.
One of the best people I ever was able to work with in this business. What a call. Unbelievable call.
Great poll, because you hear it all, the Musburger call way more often.
Right.
And that now, obviously a great moment. Now, you, how old were you in 84?
I was, 10 months.
Okay, 10 months old. So you have no concept of how important that was. Nope. And for you to say that's a Mount Rushmore moment in Boston sports is just totally false.
It is.
And swayed by a BC brain.
You could say that that is the most iconic football moment in college football history. Most replayed.
Cam Newton?
Nope. the one Fourier was on the field with Cordell Stewart, not quite.
Banned on the field, probably
right, banned
not.
On the field, but was that legal or not? You never know. That is the singular moment. So what's the singular
the
moment?
Kick six?
Great. That was a great call by Vern Lundquist. But
what was the call where McDonough's voice was? Oh, that was a Monday Night Football.
That was the botched field goal or botched punt. Michigan State.
Right. That was a great one.
Still not as good, I'd say, as the Hail Mary.
Yeah. I would say if you have the singular moment in an entire sports history.
Okay. Give me your top four then. Your Mount Rushmore. Here it is. The Curtis Mount Rushmore Boston sports moments.
Vinatieri field goal against the Raiders.
Correct.
Gil Santos, voice of God. Boy, oh boy. Johnny Damon Grand Slam against the Yankees.
What? That's not even in the top 10.
Of what?
Boston sports moments.
You have a list of top 10 Boston sports moments?
I've got a top four. That's not even like consideration.
For me, that moment changed everything.
The Damon Slam? More than the Robert Steele? Or the
right
Folk Final Out? Or
Folk Final Out. It's a ground ball stab by Folk.
Yeah. The call by Joe C is iconic. Hall of Famer Joe.
No.
That's the moment the curse was broken.
No,
the moment, not when Damon slammed.
Oh my God! Bigger moment was Damon's grand slam. That was I was at the Sports Depot down the road from here, hugging strangers.
I love the Sports Depot, but that can't sway your brain.
Of course. So we all agree that the singular moment, at least of my lifetime in the history of Boston sports, is the Vinatieri kick in the snow.
That's on the top four. Yes, I don't know if it's number one, but yes.
I mean, to be candid, I didn't really put thought into this before I said it.
You didn't actually think I would go here.
No. let me think. So I want to include the teams here. Bruins, the save by Tim Thomas in double overtime against the Canadiens was a pretty damn good one. Maybe the goal by, was it Bergeron in the
Game 7 against the
Leafs, 1-0 win against that Italian nut.
But you're forgetting the statue that's outside of the garden. I mean, that's got to be there.
Okay, but that's not my, I wasn't Bobby Orr.
Oh, so now you're saying in modern era.
Well, for me, yeah.
You have to put the Orr goal there.
Okay, but they were up 3-0 in that series,
I believe.
It was
their first title.
Okay, Bobby Orr goal. I love Bobby Orr.
And how many years? How many years before that had they won?
I don't know. Fisk, my man, Pudge's name.
Yeah, right. Fisk. I mean, I don't think Fisk makes the list. Malcolm Butler would be on my list.
Well, Courtney said there's five parts, so maybe we'll do four more.
I got Orr. About Havlicek stole the ball?
Yeah, but that one kind of gets lost in, I would admit that gets lost in history. Maybe the Bird steal might be more significant.
I mean, in terms of moments, it isn't a play, but if I'm going to encapsulate the big three, the new big three, it's anything is possible with Kevin Garnett in the middle of the floor. That one is pretty iconic. They blew them out in game six. It wasn't close. Maybe Doc getting the Gatorade bath.
Same with 84 Celtics. Like, I'm sure you watched them beat the Lakers in seven games. That must have,
right.
You know.
I mean,
Cedric Maxwell had a great game. And
I would say Jalen getting left off the Olympic team.
What about Pop Douglas this week? You know, when his catches.
I guess it's fair to say it's Damon. I mean, it should be Ortiz, something Ortiz related.
Also the snowball. Good point. Wiggy's got to be on the list somewhere.
Snowball. I just said the Vinatieri kick and the snowball twice.
Oh, I thought you meant the kick, the final kick to beat in the Super Bowl.
Snowball is the most iconic.
Okay.
That literally changed everything.
Both count. Well, okay. The tuck roll.
Right, but the tuck roll gave you the opportunity, but that kick was still. Underrated kick, by the way, 0-3, when they started the game against the Titans with a touchdown to Bethel Johnson, 7-0, but they won by a field goal. And Vinatieri, I think it was like a 48-yard field goal. It was like 0 degrees outside. It was like kicking a brick. That was unbelievable. And that year, Brady beat both MVPs, co-MVPs, RIP Steve McNair and Peyton Manning.
Well, bottom line is, I mean.
Butler. What the hell?
Yeah,
Butler. Absolutely.
Yes.
So
Flutie's off.
Flutie?
No, Flutie Butler. Is not on the list.
The Curtis family always has a Butler. The Flutie pass.
Yeah.
Butler's interception.
Right.
Damon's grand slam. God. And I guess Bobby Orr.
I guess Bobby Orr. What about Vinatieri?
I just had that. Didn't I just say Vinatieri?
No.
Am I losing my mind?
Yes. You had Damon's slam in there.
Okay, so no Vinatieri. I mean, no Damon Slam. So you got...
Yeah, you replace Vinatieri with the Butler interception.
This is really hard. This is why they do this. We should do a Mount Rushmore of Mount Rushmores.
Can we layer Mount Rushmores on each other?
It's a coffee table book about coffee tables.
Is there any doubt that Trump tries to find his way up there? Who's he take down?
Construction will start.
We're going to build January. A wall and a new Rushmore.
We really need a fifth face. This one needs a fifth because it's impossible. So you would have Malcolm Butler and Vinatieri on the list, you admit.
Plus, Malcolm Butler is, that is, Malcolm Butler's play is the single biggest moment in the history of the NFL.
And even 28-3,
would you dispute that?
There's not really a moment in 28-3.
That pick.
Whoa, what about the helmet catch?
No, because that's one season. The Patriots were already dynastic.
Okay.
That pick by Butler precluded Brady from losing three straight Super Bowls. From Russell Wilson beating Peyton Manning and Tom Brady in consecutive Super Bowls.
That's huge. Starts the double
dynasty. Pete Carroll better than Bill Belichick. That win catapulted them. And that was the most watched Super Bowl of all time.
Vinatieri, by the way, will get in this year. Pro Football Hall of Fame, right?
Oh,
first
absolutely.
Ballot. Absolutely should be.
The Patriot fans that booed him should be kicked in the nuts.
Ty Law brings him up all the time. Just like, not enough credit.
Oh, my God. I mean, that 0-1 team is the only Super Bowl champion whose best player was its kicker. I mean, think about the way in which they got there. Then they hit the 48, or in the kick that they won that game with. They go down the field. Wiggy gets the final catch. It splits the effing uprights. Like, it's not even close.
Not even close. So Vinatieri, Malcolm Butler, Bobby Orr.
Vinatieri. But then we have no Brady play.
No Brady play, no David Ortiz.
But I guess it's moments. So
no Celtics.
The Vinatieri kick in the snow is the number one moment in Boston sports history for me.
Something Red Sox has to be in there during the breaking curse.
But the Fisk thing, it's like it's great, but they lost the series.
Yeah. Even the 67 Impossible Dream can't make it.
No. Like the Damon Grand Slam was so massive because it allowed you to breathe. And what you did has never been done in the history of baseball.
Okay, yeah. So, but you're not putting the Hail Flutie ahead of any of these things we're talking about. Admit it. You're wrong. Step back. Take a step back.
I don't think so.
BC boy. Let's go to
What's your favorite Northeastern football play?
Jerry in Westfield. Hello, Jerry. Hello, Jerry. All right.
All righty. That was on the Mount Rushmore of best calls of the day. I mean, there's somebody has to have done a list of this
bloody
at some point.
Sock.
Oh, yeah, but there's not a moment.
There's not a moment.
I mean, of that 0-4 run, so your moment is just the ground ball stabbed by Folk.
How about Greg falling in the Seaport? Or Bobes falling off the chair at scores or stats?
Oh, my God. What about Tim Neverett totally talking about one way in, one way out when you gave the best score? See if you can find Ken's score update of the Carolina win over the Patriots.
That was a great score update.
That was 16, I believe. Tim Neverett on the call. It should be KNC headlines. Ken Laird just absolutely in a rare stroke of genius.
I was by Edward R. Murrow moment.
It really was. It was like when Ben Volen asked the same question twice to Mayo this week.
Might be an EEI iconic moment.
I feel
EEI
like
Mount Rushmore?
That should be in the Marconi Award winning category.
I've submitted it every year. I also submitted you for a Soundbites Award for Best Meteorologist.
Oh, God.
And you were beaten out.
I really got screwed.
Who was it that I texted you?
Tevin something?
Yeah, Tevin Wooten beat you out as Best Meteorologist.
Don't you have to be known? Like, who is that? I've never heard of that person in my life.
I'd never heard of him either. It was an outrage. I actually stood up.
Did Greg boo?
And made a scene. No, Greg applauded.
Oh, what an ass. Boston.
You have the forecast, by the way, for
oh, by the way, Jupiter looking spectacular this week. 80s. We'll be doing the show together. Ken will be in the armpit of America. I'll be in Jupiter.
And I can't dispute that because it's Philly.
Yes, Philly does suck. Pittsburgh's nice. All right, so
Dave Robert Steele. You cannot leave the Robert Steele off there. That's got to go ahead of Folk.
Of course it's ahead of Folk. Everything's ahead of Folk. It's a horrible idea.
I love the Folk moment. I love the call. It's on the broadcast booth wall.
Ortiz, this is our effing city.
Ooh, good moment.
But or the Grand Slam against the Tigers. I'd probably put the effing city up.
Well, the Grand Slam against the...
That is a great iconic moment.
That was a great
SI
day.
Cover of right. The cop and the...
Why'd you get that officer on?
What is his name? We should know his name.
Horton. Horrigan. He passed away. Rest in peace.
I'm going to give you my Aaron Judge quote here in a second because I know everybody's waiting for it. Joe and Haverhill, though, on Boston Mount Sports. Boston Mount Rushmore moments. Go ahead, Joe.
Ooh, Hightower strip sack. Massive play.
Ooh. Joe. What's going
on? Hello?
Oh, yep. There you are. Hi, Joe.
Hey, hello. Yeah, you guys just kind of mentioned it, but to me, I know 04 was the first one, so that's important, but the Ortiz Grand Slam against the Tigers.
Yeah.
That moment, that whole day with Brady winning the game with Kembrell Tompkins earlier in the day, but that Grand Slam against the Tigers, I think, is one of the most important home runs in the history of the whole franchise.
That's a great point, Joe, because they're down 1-0. You're down four runs. Right, that tied it because Saltalamacchia had the hit.
9-7-8. Don't forget Salk's go-to salad dressing question. That is.
That may be the most played drop of all time.
What is your go-to salad dressing?
What a question. No
LJ,
guys.
Speaking of LJ, the great LJ, rest in peace, Larry Johnson. He had the Pascal Siakam clip that we played a lot.
Right, Cowie Leonard.
Cowie. Cowie. He got pissed at that. He kept calling me. Why do you keep playing that? I apologize, LJ.
Go-to salad dressing. What an odd question.
All right, here's my Judge quote. Ready?
Yep.
Here's why you should have hope as a Red Sox fan that Soto will
not... What don't you like about the Red Sox, Ken?
Soto will not be going to the Yankees. I'm not saying he's going to go to the Red Sox, but he's not going to the Yankees. Asked about Soto, Judge said, I haven't talked to him at all. I think the best thing is to give those guys space. I talked to him all season. Talk to people, make the right decision for your family. We'll see him down the road. Follows that up with, honestly, it ain't my money. I really don't care as long as we get the best players, get the most of what we can. I'm happy with whatever. That does not sound like a guy who is going to get Juan Soto back as a teammate to me.
Yeah, I think he's going to the Mets. That's kind of the overwhelming expectation.
But still a win for John Henry et al. If he goes to the Mets, that's good.
Yeah, I mean... Right. Do you think the Red Sox? So what do you, if you trust this, right? You're bullish. What's the win total next year?
Trust what, by the way? I don't think they're going to get Soto.
No, but you think that they're going to make big improvements to the roster.
Big improvements.
So what do you think their over under is for wins?
What was it this year?
76.5, 77.
It's not going to jump 10 wins. I think 85
85.5. Get the duck boats.
Well, that's going to be a good buy. Take the over.
Let me tell you, if their offseason yields them a team that's expected to win mid-80s, then this offseason has been a failure.
No, but that's expected. That's because there are too many people like you out there who just are skeptical.
So who do they bring in, Ken? Who's coming into this team next year?
So
Corbin Burns?
It'll be Burns or Fried or Snell, one of those three.
Don't like Snell.
I don't like Snell either. I don't like his attitude.
Thank you.
But if he signs here, I'll be all about it.
Are you going to get a BS hat?
They will sign Teoscar Hernandez.
Love it.
And they might sign the Polar Bear and trade Casas. I could see that.
I want Casas gone. I want Vlad Guerrero
here. So good,
here.
Polar Bear.
Is that what his nickname is?
Yeah.
Okay, I want the Polar Bear. Why is he called the Polar Bear?
I don't know where that came from. Where did the Polar Bear nickname start?
Maybe we can go to Worcester, Polar Park.
Love it. We just met with the Polar Park.
Crowley's are great people.
The Crowleys, yes. And rest in peace, David Crowley, who just passed away
recently
this week.
Passed.
Let's go to Dan in New Hampshire. Hello, Dan.
Well, Michael Crowley. Grew up with him in River School. Nice man.
Hey, I wanted to put my, for the Mount Rushmore, you mentioned the Celtics Lakers. How about the McHale clothesline on Rambis?
Ooh, love it.
It's almost got to be a separate category of like...
Or Bird, Moses Eats...
Bird quote, yeah. How about that? Dan, did you see that live? Did you watch it live?
I may have. I was pretty young. Although watchable, I was pretty young, but it re-triggered me during the that Showtime show about the Lakers-Celtics.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Good call. I think it was HBO.
And you see it all the time. That is like anytime people mention it, the rivalry. Well, obviously not the rivalry with the Lakers, but just the old school Celtics. And... Bad Boy Pistons, you see that hit. So yeah.
I mean, the issue with the Celtics is that they won so much. So it's tough.
It's hard to
consult. I guess you could do like a Mount Rushmore of each team. But the Flutie play, you wouldn't argue it's the most iconic play in the history of college football.
Oh, Joe's right. Band on the field probably is. And I do think Vince Young, recent times.
What?
Rose Bowl win. That was a great game.
I know it was maybe the best game of all time, but no. That what's well, the play? The run?
Fourth and five. You ran in. You have 26 seconds left.
I would go Josh Allen last week against the Chiefs.
Josh Allen, a lot of comps to Drake May, and now the Elway comps are coming in. I like the Elway comp. Some people get offended by this, like it's too soon.
Elway's 2-3 in the Super Bowl. No, thank you.
Oh, God. You're not an Elway fan?
No, overrated.
Really?
Yeah. He only won when he got Terrell Davis.
So if Drake May's John Elway, though, you'd be happy?
I'd be okay with five Super Bowl appearances.
Okay. I think he's got a little bit of that in him. He's got.
I like when John Elway introduced himself as himself.
Yeah, I think Drake might do that.
Yeah, Drake is an interesting. Do you think he's smart? Like, he's like a weird. The way he talks is crazy.
It's just, it's hard to get through the Southern accent. And, like, I think he is smart, though.
I guess, yeah. I guess you have to be to play the position. But he's got, like, this odd cadence to the way he speaks.
All right. We'll come
I think
up with,
he and Andy Hart might be starting an album.
Okay. We're going to come up with another Mount Rushmore idea next. You can join the program, 617-779-7937. Ken and Curtis with you until 1130 today. Curtis is not hopeful about the Red Sox, but I am. And would you like to know the current results of the poll?
Yeah.
Whether you're more hopeful or annoyed at the Red Sox interest kings. 32% hopeful. We're down to 32%. 68% annoyed.
Well, most people just agree like all with of you. Us, hope is dwindling.
Do you have any hope? Let us know.
45-yard field goal attempt coming up. Snap, ball down. Kick up on the way, and it is good. It is good. 45 yards. Adam Vinatieri kicks it through the snow, and we're tied at 13-13 with 27 seconds left to play.
Angle to the left. 41-yard field goal attempt coming for Adam Vinatieri. Snap, ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way. Kick is good.
Well, we have the 45-yard kick, the snowball kick that sends it to overtime. You got the 41-yard kick. That was over the Panthers, right? It would have been Super Bowl 38.
Yeah. I was at the snowball with my dad. I was in the stairwell trying to leave when Brady fumbled.
That is classic Curtis, by the way.
And I was there was
impatient,
a,
there have was, to leave.
There was a party I wanted to get to, and I was a senior in high school, and we waited. And Walt Coleman said, incomplete pass. In that moment, when that went through, I have never seen 60,000 people so it was delirium. It was just, it felt like you were standing.
Why were you leaving?
Because the game was over. The game was over. If they got the ball, they kneel, the game's over.
I know, but you wouldn't stay to see what the
call
was?
So you thought that it was going to be a turnover?
Well, it was shocking. I was watching it in Marshfield with a bunch of college buddies.
Okay.
They were going losing their minds, but everybody was like, still watching. I can't believe you're like
so
headed for the exit.
If they lost, your buddy was going to walk in Marshfield to his car and drive home. For me, it would have been 3 hours in a parking lot with drunk people. So, I mean, either way, I mean, I wish I would be dishonest and say I didn't want to leave.
I appreciate your honesty.
My dad said we're staying. And
we
watched. And the way in which that, because that was the last game ever at Foxborough Stadium.
Right.
And the like, they had already started the work on CMGI Field across the way, and that was just such a. Because up to that point, we lost everything. We never won. I mean, like the notion that a team around here would win a big game was a foreign concept, and to have that, and then speaking of Vinatieri, the next weekend we're in Chicago, in Pittsburgh. I'm not. The team is.
Yeah.
And it was an entire special teams fiesta. I mean, Brady goes down in the second quarter.
Don't you miss Bill?
No.
His defense was on the screws and special teams were a priority.
Like, I loved last year's special teams when they tried one without a returner in Germany. That was fun.
Well, it's not like it last year, but just the full body of
but
work.
Either way, with Parcells' guys, they did a great job.
But anyway, we started talking about this because it's the anniversary of the Flutie to Phelan. And so Curtis said flippantly that's on the Mount Rushmore of Boston sports moments. And we're pointing out it's not. Vinatieri obviously has to be on there. Even though that tied the game. That's still got to be on there.
That is,
of course, okay.
Unbelievable. I don't know anybody that would. That it's sort of the sports. You know where you were when.
Yeah.
When that you were at your buddy's. I'm surprised you had one, but you were at a friend's house. That was nice. And we all, you know, I had to drive home
in that snow. It was scary.
I do wish we had like camera phones because I wish I had more documentation of like being there. I don't have anything. My dad is like the ticket. That's it.
But if you had to pick between, if you had one Patriots moment representative, let's say Red Sox, Bruins, Patriots, they all got a moment on the list, on the Mount Rushmore. That one would be there.
28-3, I guess, though.
There's no moment from that.
Well, right. So, I mean, yes, singular moment, that
it's,
kick.
It's Vinatieri's foot striking the ball.
Right. I guess if, like, you know, the...
And Malcolm Butler's out.
Right. I maybe if the Brady pass to Martellus Bennett is completed and it's a pass to win that Super Bowl instead of the toss to James White. But that game, what would you say the singular moment of the greatest comeback? Is it the Hightower strip sack?
Yeah. The Edelman catch.
Oh, the Edelman catch.
But that, if that's dropped, I think that was on first down. Like, it is a great, yes, iconic. But
good call, Joe. That's got to be on there. That is a circus catch.
Well, I don't know if it can be on the Mount Rushmore, but if you're talking moment from that
from
game,
right. Yeah.
It has to be that.
Yep, good point, Joe.
Let's go to Derek and Pepperell. Hello, Derek.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, how are you?
So, I keep going back and forth, because, Curtis, I don't disagree. Like, Wiggy's catch and then the field goal is incredible. But for me, I just remember I was at 2 Sartell Street in Pepperell, Massachusetts, and I stood up as Keith Folk threw that last pitch. And I just started crying, saying, oh, my God, I can't believe they're going to win the World Series. And I thought of my grandmother, who sat for years at Allerton Road in Newton, Massachusetts, listening to the Red Sox on the radio. And I thought of all those people. And to me, that was the most awesome moment for me. And but I go back and forth. You keep talking about the Patriots. I agree. But for 86 years and the Red Sox finally winning, to me, was incredible. It was incredible.
Thank you, Derek. That's got to be ahead of Damon Slam or whatever you want to say from the lead up. It's the final breaking of it, even though there wasn't as much drama at that moment, but there was based on everything else.
Yeah, I would just politely disagree.
Let's go to Mark in Norwood. Hello, Mark.
Hey, how you guys doing? Great show. Yeah, the Vinatieri kick really changed everything here. I was in the stands at that, so you could barely see the ball going through the snow.
Right.
I think we're pretty much just waiting for the officials to put their hands up. That was incredible. So I don't know if somebody said this before, but how do you leave the oar thing off?
No, the oar goal is on there. No, that's on there.
Oh, okay. All right. So I probably missed that.
Yeah.
Right. And then you could pick any one of three Vinatieri kicks. I mean, the one in overtime and then the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the overtime was like a chip shot, right? It was 20-something.
John Gruden took
a timeout and allowed them to clean up the spot in front of where they could place the ball down.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark. I do need it, Joe, if you have it before break. The 48-yard field goal to win Super Bowl 36. That call, speaking of delirium, because people, you need to sort of reset it. The Patriots were blowing doors. And then the Rams were on the 2-yard line. There was a fumble. Was it Willie McGinnis who picked it? Somebody picked it up. Willie McGinnis got called for holding. And it would have made it 21-3, Patriots. The next play, Kurt Warner does a QB sneak and makes it 17-10. So it would have been 24-3. They were up 17-3. Then it gets 17-10.
Roman Pfeiffer stripped Kurt Warner.
Roman Pfeiffer.
So Bucky Jones returned it. They called it back.
Who was called for the hold?
I think you're right. It was McGinnis.
So they then Ricky Prohl scores 17-17 with, we all know, 2 minutes left. And at that point, despite what Vinatieri had done, nobody thought they were winning that game. Zip. They were cooked. And here's the field goal that after Brady drove them down the field and Vinatieri put this.
John Madden should almost be on there. So if there's an audio,
right.
Mount Rushmore on the Odyssey app.
If it works.
Oh, he's got the sock. No, he wanted the. Oh, sorry. Joe has a stick.
It's okay. We'll do the 48-yarder at the top of the next hour.
Let's go to Michael in Vermont. Hello, Michael. Michael.
What's going on today?
Go to Jack in Fenway. Hello, Jack.
Hey, top of the morning.
Sorry
to change the subject, but back on the Red Sox.
Yep.
Just wanted to say that from my perspective, I'm almost certain that the Soto stuff is a ploy for season ticket sales, which I kind of fell for the, what's it called, the full throttle thing last year. So that's full disclosure there. So hopefully not again. But I do think that they will still do more than they did last year, since they basically have to. I mean, because last year they virtually did nothing, as far as I'm concerned, aside from O'Neill and then a couple injured people. And then I'm hoping they get one pitcher like Burns or someone else, plus like a Teoscar Hernandez or something. I would take that given the circumstances, and that would probably be enough to get them back in legitimate contention.
Jack, would you rather have that, your plan, or Soto and nobody else?
Soto's like a generational player. I would take Soto. He makes an immediate difference.
Okay. Thank you, Jack. We had a texter earlier walking on the lakefront in Chicago who said, Crochet is coming to Boston. You're going to trade for Crochet and he'll be great.
Okay. I
Christmas wish lists under the tree. What do you want to see?
I want to see a Ken doll. Ugh. By the way,
it was
great
the year
point.
Of Ken.
Great point by a texter. Your story about your cousin finding your car is an all-time Mount Rushmore.
My brother-in-law.
Or your brother-in-law.
Barty,
sorry.
He was in town last week.
Barty, how was Plum Island?
Plum Island was beautiful. Great weather, too. It was like the last week.
Did Barty
last week.
Find any cars out of place?
No, but did you show I shared on Instagram the Honda CR-V, number two stolen car in Montreal? There was one stolen every 44 seconds. In the city. It's unbelievable.
Do you see the new Honda? It's all different lettering.
Yeah.
I was behind one the other day. It almost looks like a Land Rover.
And the Jaguar rebrand did not go so well.
Oh.
Better watch these refreshes.
Oh, look out.
Okay. I don't know how we got here.
Well, we're going to get to Gil Santos.
30 minutes. Okay.
The greatest call of all time.
Stick around for Gil's call next.
Walter will hold. Lonnie Paxton will snap. From the far hash mark, angle to the left for Adam Vinatieri. 48-yard field goal attempt. Set to go. Snap, ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way. And it is good! It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal. And the game is over. And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions. The Patriots are Super Bowl champions. The best team in the National Football League.
Now the call is so good, Curtis. It might vault that ahead of the snow kick.
It's just Gil. I
and
mean,
it won a title.
God, he's so good.
And it was 48 yards.
And it was
no. The Rams.
It was no doubt. Like, not even. You couldn't even feel nervous the second that thing left a foot. It was dead center. That was good from 60. Oh man, unbelievable! Mike Martz, what a putz.
978 texture puts that number one on his Boston sports moment Mount Rushmore. Two Flutie pass, three Robert Steele, four Butler interception. Worst Boston sports moment. Somebody's going worst. I mean, people, we got some negative people out there.
Well, have you looked in the mirror?
Buckner, Ruth trade, Magic hook shot, 87.
Oh, how do you not have Tyree?
Oh, yeah, Tyree. That's the big four. Where does that sit?
I mean,
in the Curtis office.
My worst, you know what's an underrated, just brutal moment was when they butchered the Champ Bailey touchback pick six. Patriots going for three straight, 0-5. They beat the Jets in the first round, travel to Denver, that Saturday night game. Brady throws a horrible interception. Benjamin Watson sprints down the field against his former Georgia dog and clear, I thought, touchback. And that was a brutal one. That was a tough loss to swallow.
How about Bruins?
Also, the Patriots, the real one that's a crap moment is the Asante Samuel pick six. You go up 21-3. Over the Colts in the second quarter of the 06 AFC title game. And whoever won that game was going to blow doors against Rex Grossman, and then you gag that in the second half. Not good.
Well, the Bruins have a hatful, I guess. Too many men on the ice. And then the Blackhawks cup loss at home.
Both at home.
Yeah, two of them, yeah. But for some reason, Chicago feels worse. Even though they lost to the Blues in Game 7, it just, I don't know.
Well, that was just such a great season.
It was a great season.
Because that was July. It was late because of the... And that was the one they had the first round with the Maple Leafs, where they had that unbelievable comeback.
Yep.
Reamer?
No, that was... They did have... Wasn't they beat the Leafs, but that was not...
What was the Reimer year?
That was 2013 was the year with the big comeback, the 3-0 deficit.
Who did they lose to? They lost to the Blackhawks in 2013.
I thought you meant the St. Louis year.
No, sorry. You were saying Blackhawks.
Blackhawks
that was
year.
The
yes,
year where
yes,
they,
yes.
That was the delayed
right.
year because
yep.
of the
right.
lockout. And then, because I remember we were at like the Boomer Golf Foundation in July, and it was games, they had just lost the series.
Dice texts in, don't forget Aaron Boone home run, Tom Brady ACL tear, Gordon Hayward leg break. Ugh. Too many bad moments.
Well, the worst part about the Tom Brady moment was I was there 08 is they raised that stupid 16-0 banner.
Let's go to Tom and Lynn. Hello, Tom.
Hi.
How are you?
What do you say, boys? Good show. Very interesting.
Thank you.
I want to give you my four Rushmore moments. Not in order, but Doug Flutie to Phelan.
Really?
The Santos call you just played. When Butler made the interception inside the 10 of the 5 minutes ago, and this is my number one, Havlicek stole the ball.
Really? So why Havlicek and Flutie? Why those two moments?
Well, it's I'm a Boston, I'm a Lynn guy. I grew up with this, you know, the Celtics, the BC, and I know a bunch of kids went to, not a, four or five kids went to BC, played football, all very intelligent people, above average, and they're also good quality people. So I feel I have an affinity with that, you know, school, but plus Irish Catholic thing. But one more thing, Curtis, can you please do me a favor? Can you please back it down on the language? Thank you.
Now watch your mouth, Curtis.
My language?
Potty mouth.
What are you talking about?
Shime has to dump you like three times an hour.
In my experience,
on the Twitch,
the most devout Catholics have the dirtiest mouths.
Well, not Tom. Let's go. Whoop, sorry.
Oh, there, that was Tom.
Let's go to Jim in the car. Hello, Jim.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
You know, I saw the Flutie pass on television, not in person. And the thing I remember is Gerald Phelan beating double coverage. I felt like he never got enough credit for that. But I think you have to exclude college from this discussion, because then you open up a whole can of worms with, like, the Harvard-Yale Mud Bowl game,
right,
which they weren't supposed to win. But as far as pro Rushmore moments, I'm surprised no one has mentioned this. It's the Bloody Sock game.
No, but that's a game, not a moment. Like, what's the moment?
Him walking out of the...
I guess the call with McCarver saying what Curt Schilling just did will long live in New England baseball lore.
Oh, yeah, that I'm confusing Madden Goosebumps. What Tom Brady just did, give me his
butt.
Yeah, that's when. Well, that's because he was so shocked Wiggy caught the ball right before the kick.
Go ahead, Jim.
I mean, you could argue the moment is just the beginning of the game itself. Like, you couldn't believe what was happening.
Right.
And the 04 documentary did a really good job bringing that back again, the Schilling importance.
To me, the most, I don't know about Jim just left, but like, to me, the most iconic moment of that game, the most shocking moment, was when they brought Jeter back to first and they called A-Rod out and they took a run off. Have you ever in your life, up to that point, seen an umpire take a run off the board pre-instant replay, and then the loser Yankee fans chucking things on the field, balls on the field? They had to have riot gear with the police on both first and third baseline.
Favorite image, though, from that moment was A-Rod with his hands on his head. I think one of the announcers said, like, he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar or something like that.
Joe West, right?
Joe West? I mean, he might have been the crew. I thought it was Hirschbeck or one of those guys, but either way, Cowboy Joe.
Let's go to Danny and Quincy. Good morning, Danny.
Yeah, I think we're going to need a bigger mountain. Either that, or you're going to have to separate out the college from the pros, because
you can't do that. That's the definition of Mount Rushmore debate. It's got to be four.
There's too many. If you're going to put in the Flutie pass, which I agree, Curtis, is one of the greatest moments of my sports viewing history, you got to put in the field goal kick against the college football version of the New York Yankees, Notre Dame, when BC beat Notre Dame, and that's
David
field
Gordon,
goal kick.
41-yarder, 41-39.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That was my first memory, sports.
The other thing, you know, and I know you mentioned Fisk, but, you know, Bernie Cabo, Kenny, I was sitting with my brother from another mother, Kyle. You met him at the museum a couple of weeks ago.
Man. What was he on that day?
I was sitting in his living room. He's in Jamaica. He made it to Jamaica on JetBlue, Curtis.
He probably had some of the good kush.
Oh, God, I was so worried about him. After Curtis says, don't fly JetBlue, I said, Jesus. He was on the phone with me from Logan Airport saying, I'm just about to get on the plane from Montego Bay on JetBlue. And then Curtis made those statements. I said, oh, no. Anyway.
Watch your mouth. You're there again.
Just follow me, Danny. I don't listen to myself. So just go.
Yeah, that's all right. I've said a lot worse in my time. Anyway, but yeah, Bernie Cabo, man. The Bernie Cabo home run. There's no Carlton Fisk without Bernie Cabo. They were down 6-3, nobody on, two outs, bottom of the eighth. And then they got two on, and then Cabo hit the home run to tie it. But anyway, it's poor Bernie Cabo. He never got the recognition he deserved. But my boy Larry Johnson, I just found out 2 days ago. Man, I'm telling you, man, I'm devastated. That put me in a funk for the last 2 days.
Yeah,
because Larry and I kept in contact after the show. He used to call my mother after my dad passed away. My mother lived in her house in Quincy. She was 90 years old. She drove until 90. And I took care of her until 101. But, I mean, there were times I had to leave, and Larry would call up and say, Marguerite, how are you? How's everything? How's your son treating you? And Larry and I just talked a few months ago. And I didn't know he was sick. So and I had the urge to call him about a month ago to see how he was doing, and I didn't go with the instinct. Every time I get an instinct and I go against it, it burns me. And I had the instinct to call him, and I didn't. So kind of bummed out about that. But, you know, sandwiches, when he talked about sandwiches, and how's that working for you, some of the greatest quotes, that was one of the best shows. In fact, your show and their show, they're a thing of the past because they used to disagree organically, naturally,
yep,
with each other. And then that would prompt the callers to call. Like Mike from Canton would be the Yankee guy and Joey from the North End. And I was just thinking about all these people not too long ago, you know. And now your show is the same. You guys disagree naturally. You don't do it, you know, you shouldn't disagree for the sake of disagreeing to make good show radio, but those days are gone. All the other shows aren't. There's no disagreement anymore, you know?
Texter said it was the last of old bastard radio. But but those guys were, I mean, they were creative, witty, and feisty.
But
fiery.
Danny, it was just, it was, and as someone who didn't call, who listened, and would listen for you and for Mike and those guys, those Saturdays, there was always a way that Larry would make a stressful situation lighter or a lighter situation make you think more. It was, he had this, a timing that was impeccable. And I really enjoyed listening to you, and I loved listening to Craig and Larry, and having the opportunity at this time slot is not something Ken or I take for granted.
Yeah. And don't forget, he was a great artist, and his artiste ability to depict what happened the week before with either the Patriots or the Reds or whatever it may be, his application of art to the sports was phenomenal. Phenomenal. He was enamored that I grew palm trees. That was another thing. I used to send him my calendar.
Well, everybody's enamored by that. That's just bananas.
This is odd.
What's that?
No disrespect of the great LJ, but I feel like everybody that finds that out is
enamored
by it.
You're on the Cape making palm trees.
And anyways, Curtis, it definitely was a touchback. Champ Bailey.
Oh, totally.
Run back. That was a touchback. I mean, these putz referees that probably call that every time now in this modern day. And then, you know, the other one going back a ways was the Sugar Bear Hamilton, you know, roughing the passer on Kenny Stabler. You know, that never got called in those days, and they called that one time. That was no different than Mike Vrabel clocking Kurt Warner to facilitate Ty Law's interception. Because without that pressure or that hit on Warner, Ty Law doesn't make him, could not intercept that pass. That's an underrated fact. That's the way I saw it anyway. If you go back and look at it, you'll see
the way they hit Warner in that game would never be allowed today. I mean,
yeah, and the receivers were, yeah, and then they were killing the receivers at the line of scrimmage. I mean, they can still do that this day and age, but I'm surprised they don't do it more. But anyway, I don't know. It's, those days are over, Curtis.
But I do think, Danny, I will say this, I not in the quarterback realm, of course, but it does feel, one thing that we don't talk about when talking about scoring in the NFL, in the last 10 years, they've gained 10 yards for every first and 10 after a kick. Like, 10 yards of field position is massive. You're starting at the 30, and the scoring is still down, which means, I think, Bill will have, if he wants full control, it'll be the Jaguars. But I hope he doesn't want full control, even though I think he does, because the league is going back in that direction where defense, it's not, you know, the Mahomeses of the world. It's not the offensive funny numbers of the 5 years ago anymore.
Well, look what happened last week with Kansas City. Thank God they lost. Oh, I was praying after that game. I mean, you know, they had a hiccup. Spagnuolo, their defense gave up, I think he gave up 30, and they could, and Mahomes, in the early Mahomes days, he could win that game, 40-30.
Right.
But last week,
Danny,
he did him in.
You made me remember something. So Belichick was on with Brady on Monday night. They do that stupid thing with Jim Gray. And Belichick called out Spagnuolo, and he said, for some reason, Spagnuolo decided on that, what was it, 4th-and-3? That they stopped spying Josh Allen.
Yep.
And Bill was miffed. He's like, he did it every game, every play until then. And Josh Allen, got too cute.
He burned him.
This is Josh Allen's year. I don't know if he's actually going to do it, but this is the year. Chiefs are vulnerable. They need to win this year. If you're a Bills fan, this is it. You got to win this year.
Danny, thanks for the kind words for LJ. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Danny. And we'll take John and Gardner here in a second, too, because he used to call Lester and Johnson every weekend in 2015 and 2016 when I was on. But Jerry made a point, too, Jerry Callahan, in his talking about LJ, that he was in the business 40 years, never made an enemy. Jerry's totally right about that. Did you know anybody who didn't like LJ?
No.
He was just nice.
Well, the other thing about LJ was the – I remember – I don't know when it was. It was definitely 04 where Craig Mustard at some point, whether it was game four – I don't know when it was. Maybe it was right after the Robert Steele, but he capitulated. And he said, the Yankees are going to lose. And LJ got so mad. Because he's like, you know, you're jinxing up. You know, now you're going back at us. It was just – those moments were just so great.
John and Gardner. Good morning, John. I know you used to call that show all the time.
Good morning. Thanks, Kenny, because I know you got to wrap up. No kidding. I was going to mention, I've been kicking myself several times because I thought Danny had kept a personal connection with Larry. So I meant to say on air a couple of times. I thought of it after Danny passing along to Larry and to Craig that, you know, there's a lot of us out here that miss them.
Yeah.
And as I told you guys are a worthy suggested to those guys. I'll just never, it'll always go down hard how those things end and so forth with the suits. But they were a great team, and he was a great guy. I hope Craig lives about another 25 years for Craig, so we won't have to worry about him for too long. But I don't have time for the rest of my call. But thank you for taking the call, Kenny. Curtis,
thanks, Johnny.
You guys have a good one, okay?
Thanks. You too, bud. Yep, John called every weekend. Mustard and Johnson regular, John and Gardner.
The best was, too, because you knew you would hear from one of the guys. And I know some people don't like celebrity calls, whatever. I just think if you heard it, you would have liked it, if you're just hearing this now. But whether it was Joey or Mike or Frank or Danny or John or whomever, you'd hear a call, and then you'd know the other guy was like...
Oh, he'd call to respond.
Lining up to call back. They never did quite the brilliance of having Danny and...
Everybody got a good 8 minutes, too. I feel like the callers...
Oh, yeah. LJ put his feet up at times.
There was no speeding that up, because you would get your time on the...
But it was great, because oftentimes it was like they had the Sox were on until 2 or 3, so you had plenty of time in the morning.
It was either a 2-hour tour, a 3-hour tour, or a 4-hour tour. That's how Craig would start. He would give you the time. Here's the length of the time today. And we're, by the way, almost out of time. So, BC, what's your pick of the week again?
So,
Ohio State?
Ohio State.
Give the points?
Give the points. Notre Dame,
like
Ohio
this
State.
Bet. I don't like going against
you. How much
you.
Indiana have you watched this year, Ken?
Not a lot, but a little.
They're not good. They're fine.
10-0.
Yep. Who have they beaten? Give me their big win.
I'd have to look that up.
Okay. Thank you. So, Ohio State, whose only loss is by one or two on the road at the number one team, undefeated Oregon.
Yep.
Somehow Notre Dame, who
you
lost...
You hate Ryan Day, though. Now you love him.
No. Ryan Day does not lose to bad teams. Doesn't. He loses to good teams in big games.
But 10.5 now. That's what we're talking about
right here. They're at home, at the shoe. Look out.
Indiana just beat Michigan. Not the same Michigan, but still.
And so both teams have what you would perceive...
They're blowing teams out.
What you have are two teams that you perceive to have look-ahead games with Notre Dame and USC and Ohio State with Michigan. USC and Michigan, not good. And, by the way, Notre Dame, who lost at home to an unranked team, is 6. Okay. Absurd. When you look at who the other teams... I mean,
Are you loving the playoff, or is it killing this time of year?
So this time of year, I don't like it. In the end, in December, I'm going to think it's great. Like, they'll have the right teams in because you have a bigger margin of error.
Yeah.
But, like, Ohio State, Indiana would be an even bigger. If Ohio State, you know, I don't know. I just feel like there are some of these games don't have the same. But, like, Georgia's coach, Kirby Smart, was right. Like, look at who Georgia's lost to, Alabama and who else was it? Ole Miss?
Yeah.
So, like, those teams are incredible. That is much more impressive than Notre Dame only losing once, but at home to Northern Illinois.
Bill O'Brien, by the way, very interesting comment on your show saying college football could become NFL minor leagues, salary caps, players pigeonholed into NIL. Like, anyway, it's going to get interesting. Good job, Joe Braverman, behind the glass. Curtis, always enjoy it.
All right, I will see you Monday. Tuesday. We'll hear Monday.
Yep.
Go Eagles.